He hath delivered his soul unto death, and was reputed with the wicked. He hath borne the sins of many, and hath prayed for the transgressors. These words are taken from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 12. They form part of the prophecy of the same prophet concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And who is my neighbor? The lawyer asks of our blessed Savior. The lawyer had answered correctly concerning the greatest commandments in the law. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole strength, and with your whole mind, and your neighbor as yourself. However, the Jews would have been surprised and not a little outraged by our Lord's parable today, in which a Samaritan would surpass a priest and a Levite of the law of Moses in the practice of the greatest commandments. The Samaritans, by the time of our blessed Savior, had become enemies of the Jews. They were the remnants of the northern kingdom that had mixed both their Jewish blood and their Jewish religion with the nations and beliefs surrounding them. To call someone a Samaritan was to identify him as a sinner and a traitor. And the very name could be used as an insult, as we see in a different passage, this time in the Holy Gospel according to St. John, when the Pharisees exclaimed to our Lord, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Christ notably responds to them saying, "I do not have a demon," but he does not refuse the title Samaritan. In today's parable, Jesus identifies himself with the Samaritan. As many spiritual authors have said, it is therefore we who have fallen into the hands of robbers. We, namely all of humanity through the fall of our first parents, have fallen into the hands of thieves, thieves of the most precious of gifts, sanctifying grace, friendship with God. All men and women without exception are born children of wrath until baptism restores us to life. The priest and the Levite pass us by because the old law, though itself a preparation, is entirely incapable of restoring us by itself to sanctifying grace. As St. Paul says in today's first epistle, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Namely, it is the Spirit of the new law in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that brings us to new life. Many authors too see yet deeper layers in today's parable. For example, Blessed Cardinal Schuster sees in the oil and wine that Christ the Samaritan uses symbols of his grace and of the precious blood of the Holy Eucharist. The inn is a symbol of the church which Christ has founded. The innkeeper is therefore a symbol of the sacred ministers to whom our Lord entrusts the care and spiritual welfare of the humanity he has come to save, restore, and elevate. We may even see in the mystical two denarii given to the innkeeper a reference, as Schuster does, to the sacraments and to the word of the gospel, or as St. Augustine does, to the two commandments of the law, to love God and our neighbor. The Samaritan will return to settle accounts with the innkeeper, just as our blessed Savior will return at the end of time. Yet why a Samaritan? Could not our Lord make such a point about the love of God and neighbor without identifying himself with a heretical and sinful people to the eyes of the Jews? Could we not just as easily, perhaps more easily, take the example of our Savior without such a detail? Isaiah and St. Paul explain to us why. The great prophet of the suffering servant tells us, "He hath delivered his soul unto death, and was reputed with the wicked. And he hath borne the sins of many, and hath prayed for the transgressors. Whereas St. Paul tells us something similar in his second epistle to the Corinthians, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan, therefore, because he takes on the guilt of sinful humanity. Why can he, the Samaritan, come to the aid of fallen humanity when the priest and Levite did not and indeed could not. It is because he has offered himself for our sakes. It is because he, though God, has taken on our humanity, and though sinless himself, has taken as well the guilt of our sin in order to nourish us and restore us to life. He has made the two greatest commandments of the law one single commandment in his sacred person. We are told to love our neighbor as ourselves, and it is indeed our privilege as Christians, because Christ was born of the Blessed Virgin Mary and died on the cross for our salvation, precisely so that he could be our neighbor, both God the Son and the Son of Man. To love Christ is to love both my neighbor and my God. To love all men for Christ's sake is to honor the sacrifice of the God-man, the sacrifice he has offered of his most precious blood, so that every fallen sinner might find health in the waters of baptism and rest in the shade of the confessional. Dom Pius Parsh goes yet further and sees in the parable of the Good Samaritan what happens at every Holy Mass. The sacred texts of today's sacrifice reinforce this insight. In the introit, the cry of fallen humanity ascends to God, saying, O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confounded who seek my life. Namely, save me, O Lord, from the enemies of my soul, the devil, the flesh, and the world. Father Pius focuses particularly on the offertory. It is the passage from Exodus, where the chosen people have sinned greatly against God by building unto themselves the idol of the golden calf. God is resolved to destroy them, but Moses stands before God interceding on behalf of the people, and it is his supplication that moves the heart of our God. Jesus is the new Moses. He has given us the new law founded on his sacrifice, founded on the divine charity that fills his sacred heart. And at every Holy Mass, in the person of the priest, the new Moses ascends into the altar of God, there to plead for us, and it is there that he is always heard. In Holy Communion, he comes to us a man of our own humanity, our neighbor, to give himself with his own hand, to give the fruits of that sacrifice, to give to us the oil of divine gladness to relieve our every sorrow, his precious blood to cleanse and enliven our souls. It is why Holy Mother Church will bid us sing at the communion antiphon from Psalm 103 in praise of our God. The earth is replete with the fruit of your works, O Lord. You produce bread from the earth and wine to gladden men's hearts, so that their faces gleam with oil, and bread fortifies the hearts of men. Everywhere this sacrifice is offered, our good Samaritan, our divine neighbor and redeemer, has filled the earth with his good works. What greater joy than the divine wine of this chalice, the precious blood? What greater strength than the bread of eternal life? Every one of our faces should shine with the balm of that very heavenly grace this morning. Who is my neighbor? The lawyer asked. He is first and foremost the God of our hearts, who to mend and restore those same hearts has taken their wounds upon himself, to be cast as a sinner, as a Samaritan for our sakes. But by redeeming and nourishing us, he has reminded us that there is no wounded soul who has not also been purchased by this precious blood. As we are nourished by the Good Samaritan, the new Moses at this altar, may we in turn ever seek to nourish him in the person of our brothers and sisters. He became our neighbor to save us, but also that we might see him in each other. May all men find him here in this divine inn, our Holy Mother the Church. May the sweet balm, the holy oil of charity, ever tend to the wounds of discord among us, so that we might all be worthy to await the Good Samaritan's return with loving expectation. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.